My lords, ladies and gentlemen, topping the bill at the old time palace of the Irish is that delectable demitasse of pulsating pulchritude, Mezzo Coloratura Extraordinaire, Lucrezia Mouse Porridge. Now, simmer down. Simmer down. Tonight, before your very eyes, she will swallow a blazing telegraph pole while singing, unaccompanied, the entire London Telephone Directory. At the same time, juggling underwater with three divisions of the Seaforth Highlanders in full dress uniform. However, she hasn't turned up. So here is a wax cylinder of Round the Hole.
Now, this week's special guest, specially released from quarantine, the conjuring guru Maharishi Isambard Kingdom Goat Posture.
Hello and welcome to the show. Well, first an apology to the Bishop of Woolwich. I'm sorry, sir, I didn't know you were in there. Well, now then, the results of last week's picture competition, in which we showed you a photograph of the House of Lords and invited you to spot the hippopotamus. Well, some of you came up with novel and highly improbable suggestions as to where it might be, and I think the expression on the face of the Lord Chancellor may well have misled you. The hippopotamus was, in fact, in the Distinguished Visitors Gallery, just to the left of the blue-nosed baboon. And the prize for the winning entry has been sent to Mrs. E.M. of Dunrovin, Samarkand. And is, as promised, it is an inflatable rubber Douglas Smith. This, I may say, is indistinguishable from the real thing, except for the slow puncture. And I understand he's having treatment for that. And on to the next item, Smith.
Sir.
Right.
Movie Go Wrong, a series of radio adaptations of popular favourites from the silver screen. If you missed them the first time, now is your chance to improve your aim. This week, Pornographic Productions, in association with Warner Sisters, proudly presents Dr. Do Sweet B.A. The story of a man who spoke the language of animals.
My name is Dr. Doosweet, B.A. I practice... I practice in the West Country. And I'm getting quite good at it. It's a busy life being a country doctor. Outside of my waiting room, I have a lot of patients, but once in my surgery, I become quite irritable. I was sitting there one day, idly reading my Lancet. Let's see now, made in Sheffield by the Acme Steel Company Limited, when suddenly the door opened.
Oh, excuse me, Doctor. There's a case of beriberi in the waiting room.
Oh, thank you, nurse. I do enjoy a glass of it over lunch. Put it in the cellar and show in the next patient.
Right, Doctor.
My next patient entered. He had two fractured arms. I shook him warmly by the foot and bade him sit down. Now then, what seems to be the trouble, sir?
I tell you, Doctor, I'm not a well man. I got aches everywhere. My skin's coming up blotchy all over. I got ingrowing hair in my nostrils. Ear holes. I got nervous disorder in my kneecaps. Water on me deltoids. And I think I've done a mischief to me coccyx.
But how do you feel in yourself?
All right, except for a slight cough.
I gave the poor fellow a placebo. He wrapped it round his thin shoulders and left. And that night I was thinking about my practice over dinner. I knew in my heart that I really wanted to be a vet, an animal doctor. I turned to my faithful parrot, Amnesia, played by Douglas Smith in a feather boa and wearing a red rubber glove on his head.
Oh, sir, must I?
Quiet or I'll cut off your peanut rings. Come on, up on the perch.
Oh, very well.
I am Nisa. We'll teach you the language of animals, Doctor.
This was my great opportunity. And now the plot really starts to thicken.
It certainly does.
I spent months and months learning the animal language. Soon I had an O-level in dog, an A-level in water vole, a fish at sea level, and I knew enough grass snake to order a meal. I began to go around the countryside treating the animals. A pint for myself and a whiskey and soda for that cow out in the field. But not all the animals appreciated my doctoring. One day, as I was passing, I distinctly heard a duck say...
Quack.
Thank you. However, my young friend Seamus O'Trazalek encouraged me to persevere.
Oh, keep going, Doctor. You'll be a success. Now, sure as the silver-haired mountains of Mourn sail across the sea to Galway Bay, and the little people cobble their praties. And wearing of the green big gara.
He was, of course, Welsh. He introduced me to the charming girl at his side.
Sure, and isn't this me friend, Ophelia Mutterbucket?
Oh, hello, Doctor. I'm coming to see how you talk to the animals.
Oh, very well. I'll give you a demonstration if you like. Woof, 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 woof. Woof, 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 woof. Woof.
Doctor, he doesn't seem to understand.
Well, no, he always runs rather a stupid cat. Still, now you're here, you can help me open this crate that I got this morning.
Oh, by the green socks of Eamon Andrews. 'Tis a two-headed llama.
Well, naturally, I subscribe to the Two-Headed Llama of the Month Club. It's called a push-me-pull-you.
Push-me-pull-you?
Yes, for reasons I won't go into at the moment. Now, come, let's take it down to the circus. I knew if I could persuade the circus to exhibit the animal, I would make enough money to begin my search for the giant purple prawn. I spoke to the circus owner. I say, would you like to see my push-me-pull-you?
Oh, my.
Well, there it is over there, standing near my friend Seamus. Now, what do you think?
Oh, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it in all my life.
Then you'll exhibit this strange creature.
Certainly. Right, men, into the cage with the exotic beast.
Here, get your hands off me, you great pretty. Leave off, get off. Oh, leave me alone, you dirty, filthy swine.
We'll make a fortune. Make a fortune showing him round the provinces to people who've never seen one.
But what about the two-headed llama?
Two-headed llamas? We don't get no call for them.
Oh, Dr. Do Sweet, the crowds are flocking to see Seamus. You'll soon be rich. Oh, please, please let me come with you to search the world for the giant purple prawn. I want adventure. I'm foot loose. My knees aren't too secure either.
Very well, we'll get Seamus back and go and buy ourselves a boat. Seamus and I went down to the harbour. There was a dirty old lugger lying beside the quay. He jumped up as we approached.
Beware the albatross, young sir. Beware the albatross. Their beer is cloudy and they charge shocking prices in the saloon.
Yes, well, thank you. I'll bear that in mind. I'm looking for a vessel to go a-voyaging. How about that one there?
That be a fine catcher, that be. Known throughout the seven seas as the saucy Douglas Smith.
Oh, begorra. Oh, let's go aboard and examine his bowsprit.
Creak, 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 creak.
Well done, sir. Versatile as ever.
Thank you very much. I feel it's only fair to warn you that I'm leaking a little, and I'm troubled with barnacles on the rudder.
Oh, nonsense. Nonsense, a coat of tar, and you'll be as good as new. Now, come on, everybody, let's explore his poop.
Oh, I say so, must you?
Shut up! After a thorough investigation, we decided he was seaworthy and began to lay in provisions for our long sea voyage.
10 barrels of salt pork, 5 barrels of fresh water, 1 barrel of weevils, 1/2 ton of hard tack, 1/2 ton of soft tack, smidgen of medium tack, 4 butts of sack, 4 sacks of butt. 10 hundredweight of corn.
That's rather a lot of corn, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't write the script.
Anyway, she'm loaded to the gunwales. You'm all ready to go.
Right, and so I cast off, even though I hadn't quite finished the sleeve. And we set out. And we set out to search for the giant purple prawn.
Land, ho! Land to starboard! Land! Land!
Well, it's hardly surprising we haven't left the harbour yet.
Sorry, I hailed.
Dear Diary, it's now 10 weeks since we started our voyage. Dr. Dewsweet has spent most of the time leaning over the side, playing 20 questions with a barnacle. Last night was the roughest of the voyage. Seamus lashed me to the mast. I never thought I'd last till morning. Thank heavens the weather was good.
I myself had abandoned my chat with the barnacle. I found it rather boring.
Well, I used to think that, sir, but speaking as a ship, I found he grew on me.
That's rather good. All me, Quiet Smith.
Can't I even creak a little?
You'll creak when you're croaking to.
Doctor, doctor, I'm not one to complain, but by the great red beard of Edna O'Brien herself, I must know, when are we going to get there? When?
Get where?
To my next funny line. I'm not getting enough. I'm underexposed. It's true, I'm underexposed. That's what I am. I blossom when I'm exposed. The audience expect it, ducky. I get fan letters, you know. Yes, I do. I've got bigger fan mail than anyone else on this show. I'm not being serviced on this show, Cockney. I need servicing. Service.
All that night, the storm raged.
It's a disgrace! I don't get the service. I know my worth, and you get announced as here, playing ships and pirates and all the plum parts.
You haven't heard me playing the part of a plum yet.
Oh, shut up!
We thought it would never end. The saucy Douglas Smith shuddered under the buffeting.
He's an announcer. He's not an actor. Creak, creak, indeed. That Douglas Smith, he don't feel it. You want feelers. I mean, yes, I feel it, I do. I do, love, yes. He don't feel. The stock market report, that's the limit of his dramatic range.
Finally, the gallant Douglas Smith broke up and sank without trace.
About time, too.
Dawn found us shipwrecked on an uncharted island. I... I lay exhausted on the beach, gazing up at the drooping palms. They were attached to the drooping arms of several drooping natives. Yes, what is
it? Oh, doctor! Doctor! They're threatening me with their assegais!
Oh, be jeebus! Oh, be jeebus! Oh, you leave this to me. I say you there, chieftain. Now watch this white man's magic.
Seamus took out his cigarette lighter and flicked it once. The little flame flared and the chieftain drew back with a gasp of amazement.
Hey! Oh, that's amazing. My cigarette lighter never worked that first time. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Enid Blyton the Third.
Is it really?
Yeah. On this island, we are all named after our favourite authors. This is my wife, Ernest Hemingway. And this is my Prime Minister, anonymous 18th century.
They took us to their village. In the centre of the clearing were several poles. They tied us to them.
You see these poles? When we have a low opinion of people, they are tied to them and executed.
I see. They're sort of opinion poles, are they? Oh, dear, you need Blyton. I can't get over it.
Well, I'm ready to die, particularly after that. I've lived a full life and done everything. I've been everywhere, Kerry, Dublin, County Mayo. I've had marvellous experiences in Cork and quite a bit of fun in foam rubber. So ahead and kill me. See if I care. Go on, see if I care, you dirty swine.
The drums began to throb and the natives danced wildly around us. One waved a spear, another waved a club, yet another waved a handbag.
A handbag?
Well, if you can't beat 'em, join 'em, I say. Listen, listen, Doctor, I've been dancing with them, and I happen to notice that the chief's pet, Aardvark, is sick.
This was the break I needed. I persuaded the chief to let me examine his pet, and I soon discovered the cause of the illness.
Tell me, Matty, my physician, what is wrong with my aardvark?
Well, it's nothing, really. He's just been barking too hard.
That joke is now appearing at the Alhambra Theatre, Leeds, as part of a farewell tour prior to retirement.
Give him these pills and he'll soon be better.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. Thank you. And as a token of my gratitude, you shall be released.
Oh, Doctor. Sob, sob, gulp, gulp. You saved us.
I will heap you with jewels, almighty Doctor. I will smother you with frangipani blossom. You shall be covered with umboko. And you shall stand knee-deep in umpa.
Umbala, last time I heard it. I think I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Look, if you want to reward me, there's one thing for which I've searched these many years. It's obsessed me day and night.
Ah, I can lay that on, too.
No. It's the giant purple prawn. Now, where can I find it?
The giant purple prawn?
The chief drew back aghast. That's a sort of rough native curtain. And there, behind the ghast, was the object of my search.
By the tall stool of Valdunican! At last you found the giant purple prawn, the only one left in the entire world!
Tell us, Doctor, as a man of science, what is your considered opinion of it?
Well, just a minute. Just as I expected. Delicious. And so ends this week's production. Next week we'll be showing you something they've been queuing up for. It's been running in the West End for years, packed to capacity. Yes, it's a number 12 bus. Whatever happens, don't miss it. But if you do, there'll be another one along in a minute. And as I thought, here it comes now. Rambling Sid Rumpo.
Hello. Hello, my dearios, and ahoy the new, for with my tussock in my hand and a faraway gleam in my kilt, I'm aware this bricht moonlicht nicht the new.
Well, shouldn't worry too much. I believe it can be cured these days.
I am merely being Scottish. The song that I'm about to sing is a maudlin Scottish air and is extremely popular on Rabbi Burns' night in Samoa.
Do they celebrate Burns' Night in Samoa?
No, rabbis. That's one of the reasons for the continuing popularity of the song. They've never heard it, you see.
Would that I was in Samoa.
Oh, that's very encouraging of you. It goes after this fashion, brightly but lugubriously. By yon bonny groats and by yon bonny thrums, where the moolies grout in the trellis, where me and my loomers were ever prone to spong, on the bonny, bonny nerds of Benevis. Oh, you tack your grassocks and I'll tack me fassocks. We'll stroke our cordwangles together. For me and my bogles will never be the same, cos I've grunged all me munge in the heather. There that we whirled in yon shady glen, on the steep, steep turfs of Ben Badger, where the deep purple hue completely hid the view, and the force gave us cramp in the nadger. Oh, you tack your grunger, and I have tacked me plunger. We'll wobble our lummocks together, but your grunge starts to wilt when you're wearing Willie's kilt, and you're up to your spong in the hair.
And now to set your teeth clicking, your nerves snapping, and your head ringing. It's the groovy, way out, freak where you are, blistering white heat of Radio Balls Pond Road.
This is Radio Balls Pond Road, radio's number one public enemy.
Balls Pond Road is wonderful.
And now, for all those swinging old age pensioners and nursing mothers who make up the bulk of our audience, while the teenagers for whom it's designed are out at work, we hope to bring to the studio from time to time interesting personalities. But you can't win them all, and with me now in the studio is Daphne Whitefire.
Hello. Oh, the big city can be a lonely place, especially if you're a young girl who lives in a bed-sitter. But why not go gay? Take up those boring old carpets and hire a sanding machine and show off those floorboards. You can explain about the noise and dust to the neighbors later. Then rub oil or beeswax into them. A really friendly neighbor won't mind a bit. Throw jewel bright scatter cushions all over the place and get a few inexpensive but fun antiques. Bring out that old bust you've been hiding away for
years.
Use it as a centerpiece and show it off. You'll find you have heaps of friends you never knew existed.
Thank you, Daphne Whitefire. And now for drama lovers, Radio Balls Pond Road proudly presents the first of a series of adaptations for radio of literary masterpieces. Today, Far From the Maddening Julie Christie, which is, of course, a Hardy annual. It stars Dame Celia Mole Strangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Boldwood, you.
Yes, me, Bathsheba.
What brought you here, Boldwood?
A horse.
You're so flippant, William.
I had to see you, Bathsheba.
Too late. I've already bathed. Tit for tat.
You minx. You set my heart on fire, Bathsheba. You're the prettiest woman in Wes.
Wes? You've forgotten the sex.
You must be joking. Bathsheba, marry me, you tempestuous termagant, and all the sheep in the valley will dance at our wedding.
I can't.
Why not?
I'm too young for wedded bliss.
Marry me and I'll make you miserable.
Besides, it's hard to choose from all the men in the neighborhood.
Is there someone else?
Yes. Sergeant Troy and I are lovers.
You mean?
Ever since I didn't succeed at first, it's been Troy, Troy, and Troy again.
And for Hardy lovers, I'd just like to say I admire your stamina. Now, recently I've been doing some research into the amazing cult of the Western. Men who have never been further west than the London airport. At weekends, strap on a gun belt and try to recreate the world of Boot Hill and Calamity Jane. And so, when I read this advertisement which said, Troll West young man, the lazy Boner Ranch welcomes you, I decided to investigate. And when I arrived at the ranch, the sign on the gate said, Ring and mosey on in. So I rang and moseyed. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Calamity Julian, and this is my partner, Hopalong Sandy.
Oh, hello! Oh! Hi! Oh, I love it, thank you.
Rise, little bighorn. Oh, how boner to bar the dolly old eek again. Don't be strange, trolling.
Oh, thank you. So this is the lazy boner?
Yes.
Do you like it? We tarted it up like a real Western lad.
Yeah. What made you go in for this Western style of living?
We've always hankered after the grassroots. Oh. Hankered and pined we have, haven't we, Jules?
Oh, yes. We feel there's a crying need in this country today for men like us to get out into the open.
Yeah. It was to fulfil this long-felt want that Jules and me opened up this dude ranch. Dude. Two up, two down, and one out in the yard. Or, as we call it, the great outdoors.
Yes, now what's your curriculum?
Mondays it's cow punching, Tuesdays it's bronco busting, Wednesdays buffalo wrestling.
And Thursdays?
That's flower arranging.
You'd never believe it, Mr. Horn, but Sam can do things with two arum lilies and a cactus make your eyes pop.
And I believe that while you're here, you adopt Western names.
Western names, yes, as you can see by my drag. I model myself on that tough Western desperado, Jesse Matthews.
Shouldn't that be Jesse James?
I know what I'm doing.
It's no good, mister. He's like that. I tried to tell him. I tried. I told him that floral hat and the veil was all wrong.
Well, Jesse was wanted by the sheriff.
Yes, for robbing trains, not trolling about impersonating Mrs. Dale.
But who is Julian supposed to be?
You might well ask.
And who?
I am Bill Hickok.
Wild?
Outraged!
No, well, I like the cozy, see? I mean, you can't beat a check shirt, high-heeled boots and a pair of rough, shaggy chaps.
I have no comment to make at this time.
Well, now you're here, we'll have to fix you up with some Western drag. How do you see him, Jewel?
Oh, I see him all in the black.
Oh, the black, yes.
Black shirt,
yes.
Black Levi's.
Mm.
Levi won't mind lending you his, it's very comfortable.
Yes, you can say that again.
Yes. And a black 10-gallon hat.
Yes, with wax fruit on it.
Oh,
yes. Like Marlene Dietrich in Destry Rides Again. Yes, the black's nice. It comes lovely in the black, Mr. Horn. It really does. No,
yes.
It does.
Homie's always safe in black, I
safe
say.
In black, that's yes. True. A little black. Oh, on the other hand, we could tart him up like Lawn Green.
Lawn Green?
Lawn Green in Bonananza. Bonananza.
Bonanza.
Please yourself. You've certainly got the Ponderosa for it. Anyway. We'll teach you all your actual simple Western pursuits.
Such as?
Making a lasso.
How'd you do that?
Creep up on her when she's not looking and pinch her.
Oh, he's a scream.
Yes.
Oh, Miss Rawlins, yes. He keeps me in fits.
He does me too.
No, he does, though. Now, you'll be wanting to know about your sleeping arrangement.
Oh, yes, I will.
Well, Jewel bunks over there, yeah. I bunk over here, and then you bunk over there. Your pillow will be a saddle, you're only covering a horse blanket. But if you hear anything in the night, don't move.
Why not?
You're sharing it with yours.
Lovely mare.
Well, that's it for this week, but before we mosey along, here's this week's motto, which is, those who can, do. Those who can't, well, bad luck. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horn, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. On the musical side, you heard the Max Harris Group. The script was written by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook, and Donald Webster. The program was produced by John Simmons.